Yeah. House Resources. You like the movie reference? The House Resources call to order. It's 5 after 1. President, Representative Tuck, Seaton, Edgman, Kawasaki, Guttenberg, and Johnson. Today we are going to be taking up confirmation hearings for the Commercial Fishers Limited Entry. I guess it's not Limited Entry Commission. Big Game Commercial Services, Board of Game, and we have two of those. And it is my intention today to hear from the appointees, appointee governor designees, and then we will take public testimony after that. And we will go as long as it takes. And with that, we will start with the commercial fish entries. Mr. Twomley, are you available? Please come forward. And we have Bruce Twomley in the building with us, and we have the other three will be online.
So. I think his time is already up.
Time's up. Any questions? Mr. Twomley, if you'd introduce yourself and for the record, and if you have a brief prepared statement, or are you just prepared to answer questions, or wherever you want to go.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Bruce Twomley, and I'm grateful to Governor Parnell for having reappointed me to the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission. I was first appointed by Governor Hammond on Halloween of 1982. I've been appointed by 7 governors representing 3 political parties. But before I started work on the commission, I used to sue the state and federal government for a living, working as a lawyer with Alaska Legal Services. And I can tell you that a limited entry commission is not like any agency I ever sued. You can go into the agency at almost any hour of any day or night and find someone at work. And a prime example is our secretary, Becky Charles, one Sunday morning showed up at work at 4 a.m. That was a little unusual because we were writing a decision to say no to the IRS. But it does typify the professional commitment at the agency. It's one of the things that makes the agency a great place to work. Another is that the work remains challenging. All our decisions are controversial because people feel so strongly about their fishing rights. The work is challenging because we have to function, the commissioners, not just as administrators, not just as rulemakers, but as administrative law judges. And we have to produce legal opinions on a day-to-day basis. The Supreme Court has made this part of the job kind of tricky because the Supreme Court held that a reversal of a commission decision can be applied retroactively backward in time to undo past decisions of the commission, and they went beyond that under some circumstances to also hold that we had to accept new applications for the first time in limited fisheries long after the deadline for applying had occurred. You can see the threat that this poses to Alaska fishermen who depend on limited fisheries for their livelihood. Unless we exercise the greatest care in issuing our decisions, there's a risk we could be reversed, and the reversal could be applied retroactively, and a limited fishery on which an Alaska fisherman relies for his livelihood could be torn open, pulled out from under him. Okay, the good news is that the Supreme Court has not done a retroactive application since 1984, so I think we are getting something right, and I'm before you to ask for the opportunity to continue to try to help complete the work before the commission and to do my best to see that we get it right. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Are there questions of Mr. Twomley? Representative Seaton?
Thank you. And I appreciate, Bruce, you coming around and talking to us ahead of time and raising issues in it. And when we talked earlier, I raised the issue of your perception of the special right of fisheries as prohibited in the Constitution, and at what point in restricting permits do we reach that special right of fisheries? And I specifically referenced the scallop fishery, which had now only 2 vessels harvesting the entire stock off the state of Alaska. And I'd just like your response to the question of what does special right of fishery mean to you, and if the state puts in place a program that allows that kind of concentration, or let's say the concentration came down to one vessel harvesting the entire fishery off the state, would that be a special right of fishery, or is it something different?
Okay, through the chair, Representative Seaton, the best guidance that we have so far comes from an Alaska Supreme Court decision. It's the Simpson case, and it was a case that upheld an optimum number that we had decided faced with a challenge. The case in part stands for the proposition that on these questions, conservation is paramount. It's the most important consideration. If you don't have conservation, of course, other issues like the economics of the fishery and so forth can become irrelevant because the risk would be that you don't have a fishery. So conservation being paramount, if small numbers serve a sound conservation purpose, I think that generally one can defend the shape of a fishery. And the fishery that you raised, the scallop fishery, and that's the in-state waters scallop fishery, it's not a very large fishery to begin with. We limited entry into the fishery. It produced only 8 permits, and those 8 permits were authorized to operate on the state portion of the fishery. The bulk of the fishery occurs in federal waters, and that's limited by the feds, and the bulk to the extent of 80% or more. So the it's a relatively small fishery. There is an important conservation feature that comes up in this fishery, and in a sense it relates to some other management practices and other fisheries in the state. A good example, I think, is the southeast herring purse seine fishery, where there have been occasions where the managers were unwilling to turn the whole fleet loose on the available resource because it could do too much damage. They just couldn't control it. And so their solution was to tell the members of the fleet that if they were able to get together and designate a couple of catchers to go out and take the quota, they could let the fishery open and they could control it and the resource would be safe. But they couldn't open the fishery in the face of the entire fleet out there competing for the resource. And that bears some relation, I think, to the scallop fishery, because scallop dredges can be pretty damaging tools. They can do terrible damage to the bottom, to the habitat, and they pick up whatever they find, including king crab and tanner crab, which don't survive the experience of being hauled up in a scallop dredge. And so it's a fishery where I don't think you want very many units of gear out there chasing and competing for a greater share of the quota. I mean, I literally think it's a fishery where fewer is better. And I think that's basically consistent with the Simpson case. It's not to say that you're not pointing out a serious issue, and it's one that we would have to keep an eye on. It's not strictly within the normal optimum number considerations, because what's happening out there is that for whatever reason, some people are choosing not to fish, and it's voluntary. It's not the state dictating that only a few. I mean, it's less than what goes on when needed in the Sitka Sound herring fishery. It's something that's happening. It's happening because there are fishermen choosing not to fish, and as a result, there are only a few units of gear out there. But essentially, I think that's consistent with the conservation needs of the fishery. And so although we have to keep monitoring and we'd have to hear any claims put to us, and I'd have to reserve judgment to do that, we haven't viewed it as a cause for alarm.
Representative Seaton.
So then your view as a commissioner is that if we have one vessel harvesting the entire stock in Alaska, that doesn't run afoul of the special right of fishery, and the permit situation that you create by that kind of a permit system is allowed because it's easier to manage, and optimum number in that circumstance would be one, because it's more controllable and has less participants and has less commercial fishermen employed in the fishery. All of those factors don't weigh into the constitutional obligation not to have a special right of fishery, and it's strictly that it's easier to manage with less units of gear, and if one vessel can harvest the entire stock, then that's a system that you would support. Is that what you're...
Through the chair and Representative Seaton, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that in considering what a fishery can support, conservation is the paramount consideration. And if there is a strong conservation case to be made for smaller numbers, that's something that we would definitely consider. And it's a fairly powerful case in this fishery simply because the way you get a cleaner fishery that does less damage to the habitat and other resources, other valuable resources, is by having fewer scallop dredges out there at a time. And as I mentioned, it's a small fishery to begin with. I mean, having started out with only 8 permits, we're not talking about a broad fishery that can absorb a lot of participants. But no, it turns on conservation. If there's a sound conservation reason, that's a serious consideration and one we have to take into account in determining an optimum number.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you. So, following up, if we have less bycatch by having fish traps that have fish live and could release non-targeted species, or if we had co-ops that operated on a continuous basis, such as the Chignik co-op, am I understanding that then those conservation reasons are enough for you to say that that's not a special right of fishery, and you would, as a commissioner, grant that kind of permit?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, I mean, we have to balance the conservation needs, which are paramount, with consideration of the economic needs, but we also have to take a fishery as we find it. I mean, that's the starting point for us, and so we, in limiting this fishery, addressed the vessels that were there, came up with a number that we thought was sound, the number issued, and I mean, you and I have sat through hours of testimony on this issue, and I haven't heard a better alternative proposed. I haven't heard anything that turns me around and makes me want to stop and rethink this from the beginning. But if we did, we would certainly consider it, and I've got to reserve some judgment because we may well face a petition asking for an optimum number determination for the fishery, and I'd be part of that decision.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any additional questions? I guess the question I ask everyone is, you've been doing this since 1982, and why in the world would you want to come back?
Mr. Chairman, it's a challenging job, and I've got stakes in trying to see it get done in a way that doesn't make limited fisheries on people that people rely on vulnerable. And we can do that if we take great care with our decisions and to the extent that we can with our capacity avoid being reversed in court. That's our specific goal.
Well, appreciate your service and thank you for your willingness to deal with issues that aren't always pleasant. Without any other questions, Mr. Palmer, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We will now go to the Big Game Commercial Services Board, and we will talk to Robert Mumford. Robert, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you please identify yourself for the record and a brief statement as to why you want to be reappointed to the Big Game Commercial Services Board?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Getting some feedback through my phone, so hope you'll excuse me. But I'm Robert Mumford, looking to be reappointed to the Commercial Services Board. I served one term on it, and thoroughly enjoyed it. It was an honor to be able to do so. and I feel like we have more work to do, anxious to get to doing it. I just enjoyed it. It's been an honor for me.
Thank you. Are there any questions of Robert? Robert, and I guess you've done it once and you're going to try it again, and I guess the same question goes to you. Didn't you learn anything the first go-around?
I don't know. I feel like we've made some good headway on this board. You know, it's only been going for the last 4 years. I was able to help write some of the ethical standards for the big game guys and transporters, and to me that's something that's near and dear to my heart. And right now I serve as a liaison from the board to the Fish and Wildlife Protection Troopers and the state troopers for the enforcement end of it, given my history of being a Fish and Wildlife Protection officer. So it keeps me in the game that I've been in a long time, and like I say, it's an honor, and I enjoy working with the board that we've got.
Robert, thank you, and thank you for your service and your willingness to devote your time. Any additional questions of Mr. Mumford? Hearing none, Robert, thank you. You might want to stand by. We will be taking public testimony. You have a chance to hear what people have to say about you.
Okay, thanks.
Ben Grusendorf, are you online?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm here.
Thank you. Ben, if you'd go ahead and state your name, identify yourself, and why you want to be reappointed to the Board of Game, please.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Ben Grusendorf. I live in Sitka here, and I've been on the Board of Game for a few years now. I grew up in northern Minnesota, and hunting, fishing, being a naturalist was just part of it. And 30 years ago, I sat on the Resources Committee working with Ken Fanning. At that time, he was from Fairbanks, now he's in Yakutat, working on the Wanton Waste Bill that was codified in 1983. And our big issue at that time was to determine what was edible on a bird. And that was a real interesting experience we went through. I also sat next to Ramona Barnes. I don't know if any of you remember Ramona Barnes, but she and I spent a lot of time together dealing with the Alaska Railroad and the moose kills along the railroad tracks there. So I've been interested in game and wildlife resources all my life. Really enjoy working with the Board of Game.
Thank you, Ben. Any questions for former Representative Grusendorf? Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben. It's always good to hear that there's life after the legislature that can be productive. So can you give us a larger picture of life on the board and what it's been like as far as what the major issues that come before you and how the board has determined them?
Well, right now, and it's been going on since I got on the board, is basically intensive management for the production of, basically caribou and moose and prey animals in general. And so we've gone into some predator control areas in the state. We have six of them that are very active, and two more that we're working on. One's all the way down in Unimac. And what we're trying to do is make sure that the caribou herds and the moose population is available for human harvest, and of course subsistence questions that follow that as well. So it's been a kind of a struggle when you are dealing with, predator control, and at the same time you're also trying to meet the demands of the viewing public, and there's thousands and thousands of people that like to observe, animals, and they like to study animals, and are not consumptive of that animal. And so you're trying to weigh it carefully so that the trappers get their fur animals, and we in turn get red meat on the table for Alaskans. But that's been basically the main thing.
Representative Wilson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ben, I have to tell you that I have not gotten one single email or phone call against the job that you've been doing, so I think that says a lot. And I'm going to put a yes by my by your name.
Well, Representative, that kind of surprises me, because when you're around and you make decisions, you know, the only thing you can ask for is that people may not agree with your decision, but can understand why you made that decision. Or same goes true with the legislator. People might not necessarily agree with you, but can understand why you did it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Any additional questions of Ben? Ben, thank you so much, and thanks for your service, past, present, and future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Next, we have Alan Beret, new appointee to the Board of Game. Alan, are you online?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am, and it's Alan Beret.
Beret, I apologize for mispronouncing that. We had a discussion about that before the committee started, and of course, I chose the wrong one.
Perfectly fine, Mr. Chairman.
If you'd please identify yourself and give us a little brief history and tell us why you want to be on the Board of Game.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I've been an Alaskan resident since 1988. I've been married to my lovely wife, Laura, for 23 years now. I'm raising three children in the state, of which the oldest is my son, who's 18 and graduating from Hutchinson this year, pursuing a career in automotive mechanics at the UAA. I have two daughters. They were actively involved in the National Field Archery Association. Both have been statewide champions and regional champions, but neither are pursuing that archery career now. They're interested in quilting and sewing. We spend a lot of time as a family outdoors. We probably spend more time as viewers and users of state parks or national parks within the state than we do as a hunting family. We raise a large garden, we pick a lot of berries, we do a lot of canoeing. I always like to teach and educate the young and the inexperienced. I provide a lot of my time to answer questions and game issues and let the public understand how some of our regulations and our policies work within the state. I provide a place for university students going here at Fairbanks, a place to process their take of game, being that the dorms isn't a conclusive place to do such activities. I like teaching ethics and advising people how to do things. The reason I'd like to be on the board is one person had asked me why I'd want that job, but I don't think of it as a job as much as an opportunity to give back what I've learned and experienced as an Alaskan. I have a passion for Alaskan wildlife. It seems to be the natural choice for me to apply for this opportunity. I can bring an interior perspective to the Board of Game. As mainly as the interior consists of rural communities than urban communities, I do interact and participate with many of the rural people and activities and cultural things that go on. I have leadership in Fairbanks area since 2004 when I was elected to the Fairbanks Fish and Game Advisory Committee from the people around Fairbanks in the outlying area. And then I was elected as the chair for the Trapping Subcommittee. This is where I learned how important it is to listen to public input and their concerns. It's a very important part of my decision making. And I think that's all I have for right now, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Alan. Any questions? Representative Edgeman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Every year it seems here that we go through these appointments, or there's at least one person that engenders a lot of response, whether it be the pro side of things or the con side of things, and Mr. Brett, you seem to be that individual this year, and I'm looking at a packet here in front of me on about half inch thick or so, and some are for you and others are opposed to your appointment, but if I could maybe ask you, there's one quote here, it's a biblical quote from Genesis. And I see this sprinkled throughout a number of the opposition emails that we have gotten regarding your appointment. But any comments on your end of things in terms of why people are opposing your appointment, and the sense that you know, we're getting from these emails is that you might not be the individual that people want to serve on the Board of Game?
Through the chair, Mr. Representative Edgman, as their first part of your, I've seen some of those emails, and it was a It was an interview that Backpacker Magazine had done, and not being as clear as I should have been on that, my religious beliefs is on management is just the cornerstone of my basic management. I believe that we have to listen to the public, listen to the professionals that gather the data and the statistical information and perspective on how we want to manage a certain population of game, and through those advice and input and public comments, that's the management part of the state that I would take into consideration of that. I guess the other very controversial thing that created a lot of emails for you was the closure of the what we call the wolf buffer zone in the Stampede Trail area. And as I clearly stated on record, that my decision, after listening to all the public testimony, all the written testimony, and advice from the professionals from the Department of Fish and Game, that and their information that they had provided for us, that this was not a biological issue. Four or five of the AACs that did comment on the same thing were not in favor of keeping or expanding the buffer zone, which were the largest of the AC membership in the area. And I think with all that data, even the park superintendent of Denali National Park testified that the taking of wolves outside the park boundaries could not be documented as a factor to viewing opportunities inside the park. And that was my basis of my decision.
Representative Edgman, follow up? Or?
Mr. Chairman, I think I will follow up with one more question, and I do not know Mr. Barrett. I'm just learning about him, and given the amount of controversy that seems to have been generated regarding his appointment, I want to ask one more question, and that's to quote one email here that mentions, Al, that you own a business that fur hide tannery and makes and markets wolf trap, and that because of that you might have an inherent conflict of interest. But I want to give you an opportunity to respond to that if you would mind.
Through the chair, Mr. Representative Beckman, currently I have an ethics review going on. I have a confidentiality on that right now. But I'll waive that confidentiality right now in order to I'll just waive that, and I did give a disclosure statement prior to the board meeting starting, and it was disclosed in that statement that I did own a fur tannery, that I did own a small trap company, and none of my family or immediate family members benefited from any of that. And so that review is going on. Does that answer the question?
So, Representative Edgman?
I think it does. The issue, and again, I'm paraphrasing from emails here, so I'm not representing this as my point of view, but the issue, and it's raised in a few emails here, not just the one reference, but seems to be the sense that you might have to recuse yourself from a fair amount of votes, and that because you are a part owner in the business that you own, or that you own the business that that you're involved in, that again, you might have a conflict of interest. So I didn't think I heard a response to that that satisfied my question.
Do you have a comment to that, Al, or a response?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Benjamin, I believe I have no conflict of interest. I spoke with the attorney that was at the Board of Game and board support, and they felt, and the chairman of the board, that I had no conflict of interest.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Additional questions? Representative Seaton and then Tuck. Sorry. He got to you first, Representative Tuck.
That's fine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess a couple of questions. First of all, appreciate you putting your name forward in your submission here, the general information on page 3 under interest. You say you're your interest, your first one there is educating preservationists and less educated persons on why and how come I do what I do, or the science or biology behind what the state or I do. Can you explain to me what that is, what you mean by that statement?
Through the chair, yes, Mr. Representative Seaton. Education is very important. Those who don't really understand why consumptive users do what they do, or why people have to harvest game, sometimes it's a lack of education. They grow up with not hearing what I would say is the consumer side of any sporting activity. And so the less educated in that question wasn't pertaining to that anybody's, you know, not smarter, inferred as that. It's just that they may not have the history or why what people do, especially what Alaskans like to do, is what the inferment was there. So I think, you know, education in all subjects is, makes you a better person and a better understanding of what the situation or concepts are.
Okay. Representative Seaton, follow up.
Thank you. On another question, or do you
want to? No, go ahead. If you just
In one of the emails we have here, I had a person come to the office that talked about a support for snaring of bears and labeling them for predator control, and not requiring guides for hunting bears. And the issue was on the effect that not requiring guides and allowing snaring of bears would have on the industry, which is, you know, there's a lot of industry that guides for bears, as you well know. And can you just explain to me where you think that balance is, and whether you think that that would have a strong negative impact on the economic base of the guiding industry that works predominantly on bears?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton. Yes, I'll take that in a couple parts. The snaring of bears was our first public program was last year, I believe, in Unit 16. And it was mainly targeting black bears, and is targeting black bears. And there was some incidental catch of grizzlies, which was unfortunate, but we're perfecting that process as we're learning how to do it. So in control use, predator control use areas, I think we're seeing the effects of it, and I think we'll see better effects of it in the future. As the part pertaining to guides and guiding bears, there's nothing more than coffee conversation on what if we didn't have mandatory guiding of brown bears for non-Alaskans. Again, in order to approach a subject or learn anything, you have to ask questions, and sometimes that gets taken out of context. I believe that the guiding industry is very important and very viable to the state of Alaska, and have no intent or have any agenda.
Representative Seaton, follow up or new question?
No, to follow up. So then you would not support snaring of black bear or brown bears, that you is that what I understood, that you would oppose that or not?
Sir, to Chair, Representative Seaton, at this time and with the information I have, I see no need to start implementing any kind of snaring of grizzly bears.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Tuck?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I emails started getting flooded in, and letters started getting faxed in over the weekend, and so I don't have all the information here at my fingertips without flipping through and flipping through and flipping through. But there has been, and bringing up the issue of snaring bears and predator control, Is there any restrictions that you see in controlling predators?
Through the chair, Representative Tuck, I don't quite understand your question.
Okay, well, let me clarify. There has been some letters that have come in that discussed your position on gassing wolves, gassing dens, again, snaring bears, and then also, of course, of helicopters being used. Is there any means of predator control that you think is off limits on being able to maintain and manage the predators?
Through the chair, Representative Tuck, I've had no involvement or any discussion in gassing of anything, any game. I believe through the department's direction on predator control and their plans, implementation of their plans would be the only time that we would consider and have considered the snaring of black bears only. The use of helicopters, to answer that question, is just recently been done, and we've been seeing through the department's discretion an opportunity to make these predator control programs go a little quicker and last a little shorter time. And it's all through the management plans.
Representative Tuck, one additional question. Yeah, recently, and I wish I can find the documentation here in front of me, but there was a regulation change that increased the harvest from 2 bull caribous to 5 caribous of any gender and of any age for residents and non-residents. Can you speak about that decision and let me know where that area was?
Through the chair, Representative Tuck, yes, that dealt with the Central Arctic Caribou herd. Mainly 26B and 25A, I believe. That was a proposal put in by the department, and through their data and their census from the populations up there and what tools they have to control the harvest up there, they felt that the only way they could increase opportunity and harvest on what is called the North Slope would be to increase the caribou harvest up there, and they have a robust population up there, I believe, well over 2 times the projected goal in the management plan. And so with that recommendation and recommendations from the AACs again, I felt that it was a good vote, and I believed in the plan.
Representative Tuck.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And did that plan also include predator control as well, or just being able for human consumption?
Through the chair, Representative Tuck, that proposal and that plan only deals with the Central Arctic caribou herd and no predator control.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Alan, on your resume, the very bottom of the third page, it says press release wording, and it says Alan Barrett, 44 of Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, is owner of the Fairbanks Fur Tannery. Would you make comments about that? Or do you have a home there also, and do you go back and forth, or what does that mean?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, I didn't see that, but I graduated Elkhart Lake High School. I was a resident there up until 1984, and I have been back to the state of Wisconsin 4 times. It's just, I think it was a media glitch. I did reside there when I was a teenager and have it since I've been 18 years old.
Okay, thank you.
Alan, and just for the record, you reside at 380 Pegger Road, like your resume says, in Fairbanks?
Mr. Chair, yes.
Okay, thank you. Just to make sure we're dealing with a resident. Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, thanks, Al. Thanks for willing to serve on a board like this. I know it can be controversial and take a lot of time. Getting back to your interest in that first bullet, educating preservationists and less educated persons on why and how come you do what you do. What happens, you know, there's quite a diverse opinions of game management out there, and there are a lot of people that have quite a lot of experience, including PhDs in many, many years doing game management and field biologists in the state. What happens when you come up to one of those folks?
Through for the chair, Mr. Representative Gutenberg. I absorb all that information. We have the Division of Wildlife Conservation, which is, you know, a state agency, a state division. You know, for more work and less, they get paid for what they're doing to represent the state's best interest and their beliefs. But I do recognize that there are many independent biologists and PhDs, and you have to review that data and match it against the state and match it against the public process and view it with the elected advisory committees in the area. And somehow, you know, come out and make a good, sound decision for the state.
Representative Gutenberg.
When you say independent biologist, do you mean that there's no state biologist or no fish and wildlife, federal fish and wildlife biologist that have that opinion? Is that your belief?
Through the chair, Mr. Gutenberg, the state biologist, from my understanding of the process on that side of the house, and this is just purely opinion, is that through their advisors and supervisors and regional supervisors and their chain of command, they come up with a core unified plan or proposal. It may not actually reflect on the local lowest biologist or technician's opinion. So we really never get that at a board level. We get the compromised, unified department's understanding. And when I would say independent, maybe that's maybe too universal. You know, those not paid by the state that hold biology degrees may work for the university or corporations and other such industries.
Representative Gutenberg.
Well, thank you. Well, I can tell you that I would be surprised if anything as controversial as that is uniform through any state agency. And one of our jobs here, as legislators, I would assume it's like yours, is there is an opinion out there in each agency that is different, and sometimes the most important thing we can do is reach out and try and find it, because it is there. But I'm going to move on to a couple other questions, if I may, Mr. Chair.
Representative Gutenberg.
One of the bullets I have in your opposition concerns your opposition to restricting trapping in the Healy area, and that is part of my district. And it says there's extensive public comments regarding pets being caught and killed in traps. You know, in my part of town, that's a problem as well out in Gulfstream. So what brought upon these comments that for restricting trapping in residential areas like Healy?
Through the chair, Representative Gutenberg, I believe that was a proposal at this last meeting that I was part of. What brought it on was what you had stated. Several people's pets were caught in animal traps from trappers. Through information revealed to me, there was, for lack of better terms, a bad trapper in the area. I believe that the Department of Enforcement, Wildlife Enforcement, did contact him and was eventually cited for a wildlife violation. I know that the Trappers Association has organized trapper, non-trapper seminars or workshops to better use multi-use trails and be better neighbors with each other. I know that there was two individuals from the Healy area themselves giving classes and opportunity to discuss where and how and how not to get your pets caught in traps, how to not interfere with the trapping, and trappers vice versa, not to interfere with popular dog walking areas. So that's how that proposal was generated.
Representative Gutenberg.
So you were supporting allowing trapping to come pretty close right into Healy. How supportive are you for allowing trapping to come into other residential areas like Goldstream or the Salche area or North Pole, Chena Hot Springs? How far close to center populations do you support trapping?
through the chair, Mr. Gutenberg, or Representative Gutenberg. How close is very opinionated. I recommend always, and I take the same side as the Alaska Trappers Association, that when in doubt, don't trap there. Be a good trail user. It's quite a large state. We still have to work within the confines of land ownership, private property, borough, and state regulations. We allow trapping right here in Fairbanks, and you're familiar with Kramer's Field, so the state does allow, and the department does allow, trapping, you know, within, outside the city limits, as close as you can get. It's all discretionary and done under discernment.
No, that's fine.
Any additional questions? Representative Seaton.
Thank you. I was curious, in some of the information we've got and what you testified to here before, is that you you voted to revoke the buffer zone around Denali Park, and that you testified that the park officials didn't, I can't quite remember whether they didn't object or that they couldn't scientifically state that the wolves that were being, that would be trapped there would be the viewable wolves within the park. Which of those two cases was, what did they tell you in testimony?
I'm through the chair, Representative Seaton. I believe it was stated that the taking of wolves outside the park has not been documented as a factor of viewing opportunities inside the park.
And, Mr. Chairman, follow up.
Yeah, Representative Seaton, I'm sorry.
Thank you. So, has that been while the buffer zone was in place? Did they testify to it? Or were they testifying that it didn't matter whether the buffer zone was there or not? For what was their professional opinion to you?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, I can only take it as I read it in the proposal, and I believe when the question was asked through another board member, that it was a historical perspective on that.
So, Mr. Chairman?
Representative Seaton.
So that was while the buffer zone was in place, I guess, that they hadn't seen that, is what I'm understanding. So I guess the follow-up question is that my understanding is that you, when that buffer zone was taken away, you had proposed authorizing use of snow machines to harvest the wolves in that old buffer zone. Is that correct? And did the Park Service have any, or any other biologists have testimony on that proposal?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, the use of a snow machine within the, what they call the Stampede Trail area, and now what has been eliminated as the Stampede Trail closure area, the issue of using a snow machine was never a factor. People were allowed to use snow machines within that buffer zone and outside that buffer zone on state land. They just were restricted to not the taking of wolves or coyotes in the restricted area.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Gutenberg?
Thank you. Along that line, and then another, Mr. Chair, in that buffer zone, which is also in my district, and I was very involved with Governor Murkowski's Stampede Road Trail project. After the buffer zone was restricted, you were the sole voice to allow snow machines to harvest wolves in that area. Is that right? I mean, no one else on the board supported that.
Through the chair, Mr. Gutenberg, the issue with the snow machine in the buffer zone, could you tell me that again?
But did you petition the board to authorize use of snow machines to harvest wolves in that area?
Through the chair, Mr. Gutenberg, no.
Okay. right, if I could.
Follow-up, Roper, or a new question?
New question.
Thank you.
We have before us an alleged, actually it's in this committee, been heard once, House Bill 267, opening the Dalton Highway to snow machine use. One of the ways it's being talked to us is that it has nothing to do with harvesting of game, that it's not a game management issue, it's a recreational issue. But the board voted to a waiver to support the bill. Now, what involvement do you have, do you think the Board of Game has with this bill, and why would you get involved with it when we're being told it isn't a game issue?
Through the chair, Mr. Guttenberg, the only involvement the Board of Game has at this time with it was a letter of support for the concept of using a snow machine within the 5 mile James Dalton Highway corridor.
Yes, Mr.
Representative Guttenberg.
So why is that a game issue? Because you're not going to be able to take game. You're just going to be able to recreate, am I right?
Through the chair, Mr. Guttenberg, if that's the board's position on they just support the concept.
Well, I'm just looking for some background on why the board would support a decision that has nothing to do with game management.
Through the chair, Mr. Guttenberg, in order for them to have any involvement, they would have to have there would be some, if the bill would pass, then they would have some involvement on the use of a motorized vehicle. But since all the existing laws are in statute or are statute, that's why at this time the Board of Game has no involvement. And they could use the use of motorized vehicles maybe in the future. And I'm just projecting because we can't predict the future on it, that it would be a tool of theirs to manage game with the use of a motorized vehicle.
I think that's what I'm trying to get at. We're being told it's not an issue as far as managing game, and you're being told that it will evolve into that. So that's a concern for us.
Well, through the chair, Mr. Guttenberg, currently they have until something's changed. There's the perception that, eventually it would be in the Board of Game's hands, but until then, there's no management need, or we can't say that, project that stuff.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any additional questions? Thank you, Alan. We will appreciate your willingness to serve. Stay tuned. With that, we are going to go to public testimony. And the way I want to do this is to take each individual separately, each individual board separately. So what I'm going to ask for, is there anyone who would like to testify online or in person regarding the reappointment of Bruce Twomley? Is there anyone online or in person who would like to testify on the reappointment of Bruce Twomley? Hearing and seeing none, we will close public testimony on Mr. Twomley. Is there anyone online or in the room who would like to testify on Robert Mumford? Is there anyone online? I'm going to repeat this because I want to be very clear what we're doing here. Is there anyone who would like to testify on in person or online on Robert Mumford's reappointment to the Big Game Commercial Services Board?
Virgil
Umpenauer
in Fairbanks.
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
My name is Virgil Umpenauer. I'm in Fairbanks. I'm a master big game guy, and I fully support the reappointment of Robert Mumford to the Big Game Commercial Services Board.
Thank you. And would you state your name again, please, so that we're real clear on it?
Virgil Umpenauer. It's Virgil Umpenauer. UMPHENOUR.
All right, thank you, Virgil. And I do have your name on a list here. It was just at the bottom of the page. And is that all you'd like to testify to, Virgil?
Well, there's a lot of work to be done for the Big Game Commercial Services Board, and I feel that Mr. Mumford I attend the meetings. I only go to half of them normally, but this year I went to both of them. But Mr. Mumford, I feel, has worked hard to work with the guiding industry to bring about, like he said, he's worked on the ethics regulations that they've come up, promulgated, and I know that he's worked on a number of other issues, and there are still a lot of issues that need to be addressed to make Alaska professional hunters in the state, the guides, their occupations, to get rid of some of the people that really shouldn't be out there representing the state, and to bring forth higher standards in the industry, and that's why I support Mr. Mumford.
Thank you, Virgil. Do I count you as two testifiers or one? I heard someone in the background. Thank you.
No, I'm just one person.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Virgil. Is there anyone else who would like to testify on Robert Mumford? Hearing and seeing none, we will close testimony on Mr. Mumford. Is there anyone who would like to testify either in the room or online for Ben Grusendorf, for or against? I don't want to prejudice anyone's testimony. Is there anyone in the room or online who would like to testify? I'm sorry, did I hear somebody?
Yes.
Okay, would you identify yourself for the record, please?
My name is Kelly Walters. I'm calling from the LIO in Anchorage.
Thank you, Kelly. I have your name down here. Would you please go ahead?
I just want to strongly support and encourage you to confirm Mr. Grusendorf from Sitka to the Board of Game, his appointment there. I've testified before the Board of Game. I've watched the meeting. And I think that now more than ever, we urgently need someone who is a reasonable mind and makes decisions rooted in science. And I definitely support his reappointment.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else online or in the room? I guess. If you have any questions as a committee, get my attention, and we'll get questions of anyone who's testifying. And I would encourage you to jump up and down if you need to. We're going to try to move through these quickly. Is there anyone else who would like to testify for or against Ben Grusendorf's reappointment to the Board of Game? Hearing and seeing none, we will close testimony on Mr. Grusendorf's appointment. And I guess that's it. Oh, no, just teasing. Is there anyone online who would like to testify? Actually, we have people online, and I'm going to start off by calling your names. We're going to do this a little different. In the room, we have Tina Brown. Is Tina here? Tina, would you like to come forward, please? And for those off net, we're going to take the people who have taken time to come in here first, and then we will go to the LIOs and then the off net sites. Tina, if you would identify yourself for the record and state your support or opposition.
Good afternoon. I'm Tina Brown. I live in Juneau. I'm a board member of the Alaska Wildlife Alliance, and I'm here on behalf of the Alliance and also on behalf of myself. The Alaska Wildlife Alliance was founded in 1978. It's the only group in Alaska dedicated to the protection of Alaska's wildlife. Our mission is the protection of Alaska's wildlife for its intrinsic value as well as for the benefit of present and future generations. The Alliance does not oppose guns, it does not oppose hunting, but promotes an ecosystem approach to wildlife management that represents non-consumptive views. The Alliance opposes the appointment of Al Barrett to Alaska's Board of Game. A few of the reasons include the following. Mr. Barrett has patented and manufactures a wolf trap, number 9 wolf trap. This presents a conflict of interest. I do not believe Mr. Barrett satisfactorily dealt with that question earlier. Mr. Barrett owns a fur tannery in Fairbanks. This presents a conflict of interest. I do not believe that has been adequately addressed either. Mr. Barrett recently voted to eliminate the buffer zone around Denali National Park, which protected Denali's wolf packs from hunting and trapping since 2002. He stressed the importance of listening to the public and its concerns. However, he ignored in this vote the wishes of 100,000 park visitors and Alaskans to favor 3 or 4 recreational trappers. He also ignored the best interests of our state's economy regarding the tourism industry. Per the 2006 U.S. Department of Interior study, wildlife viewing in Alaska is a $581 million business and growing, while hunting industry is only a $124 million business and shrinking. But the wildlife industry is not adequately represented on the Board of Game and would not be adequately represented with Mr. Barrett's appointment. I won't pursue the snow machine issue. I was going to, but you've tried to address that several times already this afternoon. I will mention the response of Cliff Judkin, chair of the Board of Game. His response was, quote, "I just cringe at the thought of a snow machine running down the park boundary chasing wolves. It's almost beyond me. It might be something to do, but I don't know if I could do it," unquote. Ms. Barrett clearly does not recognize the separation of church and state, and he clearly allows this problem to affect his judgment. This was exemplified in this direct quote taken from the January 2009 interview in Backpacker magazine. He mentioned earlier that his religion is just a cornerstone in his beliefs. A cornerstone is a foundation. I am not speaking against religion. I am speaking for the separation of church and state. He said, quote, "It specifically puts out in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis, that we should subdue nature and control it. We should be the managers of the animals through the sin of Adam and Eve is what brought it on," unquote. This does not represent sound wildlife management views. Number six, fewer than 20% of Alaskans have hunting licenses. Already the Board of Game does not adequately represent the 80% of Alaskans who are non-consumptive users of wildlife. Mr. Barrett's appointment would further exacerbate this lack of representation. I appreciate this opportunity to speak to you on behalf of the Alaska Wildlife Alliance, and I encourage you to support the majority of Alaskans as well as the best interests of our state by voting against the appointment of Mr. Barrett. On a personal note, I'll stress the above reasons. I also want to bring your attention to the recent letters to the editor of all three of our state's major newspapers. I don't think you could have overlooked these lately. They express concern with current management of wildlife in our state. Just week before last, over 200 people attended an event in Juneau in opposition to wildlife management policies in our state. And over 100 people attended a rally Saturday before last in front of the Capitol. These numbers are huge for a town of just 31,000 people. And just recently, collared wolves in Yukon Charlie were shot and killed because of a misunderstanding between state and federal officials. That is a quote, misunderstanding. The Denali buffer zone was eliminated. Rossi, who has no defendable credentials, was recently appointed as our new wildlife director. Extreme predator control policies have become the norm in our state. They're increasing in number and area. Just yesterday, I believe, a recent online poll in Alaska Magazine showed overwhelming opposition to predator control in our state. You can go online and look at the results. The tourism industry is being negatively affected by our state's wildlife management policies. I know of several cancellations because of our wildlife management policies, in particular the elimination of the Denali buffer zone for tourists who had planned to come up here as early as last year.
Tina, if I could get you to wrap up, we do have a lot of people. If you could go ahead and
As a non-consumptive user and a citizen who constitutionally owns our state's wildlife, I'm not being represented by our state's Board of Game. The appointment of Mr. Barrett to the BOG would add insult to injury. Thank you for listening to me. I appreciate this.
Thank you. Questions? Thank you, Tina. Grio Brown?
It's Greg, and he's putting more money in the parking lot.
Okay. We may or may not have time to come back to him. Okay. But it is George?
It's Greg.
Greg, okay. Okay. Is there anyone else in the room who would like to testify? Come forward and identify yourself, please. Are you Carla?
I am.
Okay. I didn't know if you were wanting to testify or not. Come forward.
Sorry.
It's my mistake, not yours. That's quite all right.
My poor handwriting, perhaps.
We would like to try to keep this brief. We want to give everyone as much time as we can. We'd also like anyone who has testimony in writing to submit that. As you can see, we have a bunch, and as I think you've seen from what you've heard here, we do read it. So, Carla, if you'd go ahead, please.
Thank you. My name is Carla Hart, and I'm testifying on behalf of myself. I'm a former Department of Fish and Game employee. I spent 6 years running the wildlife viewing program from 2002 to 2008. During that time, I had the opportunity to be on the receiving end of the public's feelings about predator control. The specific concerns, or many of them, have been raised in memos relating to Mr. Barrett's appointment. I'm not going to address his appointment as an individual, but as the population. The Board of Game really should reflect the diversity of uses among Alaskans who use and benefit wildlife. The Constitution says that wildlife and natural resources are for the maximum benefit of all Alaskans. And right now, we don't see that reflected on the Board of Game. 85% of Alaskans 16 and older, the age at which you need a hunting license, don't hunt. 96% of women in Alaska don't hold a hunting license, and I would assume are not hunting illegally. Well over 50% of Alaskans have responded affirmatively in a national survey that they watch wildlife. I think we all know that the number of Alaskans watching wildlife is much higher. Tourism, wildlife photography, and resident wildlife viewing are not represented on the Board of Game and do not have a voice, and yet under the Alaska Constitution they should. The economics are clearly behind wildlife viewing and tourism. And so I would ask that you please thank Mr. Barrett for his interest in serving, but ask the governor to find an appointee that would better reflect all of your constituency and the broad use of Alaska's wildlife. Thank you.
Thank you. And did Greg make it back in yet?
Not yet.
Okay, just so that everyone knows the purpose of these hearings before we go off net, what we do is review the qualifications. There is no voting on whether or not we support or do not support an individual nominations. We just make sure that they meet the basic qualifications, and that vote takes place in the full body, and that's when the actual up and down vote will happen. But in this meeting today, all we are doing is reviewing the qualifications. So I want to be clear that everyone knows that we're not voting up or down any individual today. With that, we will go off net to Kelly Walters in Anchorage. Kelly, are you there?
I am.
I would ask that you submit your testimony in writing, and brevity is the order of the day, please.
Okay, I'll hurry. In the strongest of terms, I urge you to reject Alan Barrett from being confirmed to Bob Bell's former seat on the Alaska Board of Game. Again, I would refer to things that have been covered briefly. The vote on the Denali Wolf buffer zone was pretty much my last straw. And I talked to Mr. Barrett personally on the phone at his place of business and urged him to resign due to his conflict of interest. And at the time, he said something that kind of baffled me that he just said earlier today, was that his family has not benefited from his business interests. I don't know if Mr. Barrett is doing this altruistically or what he exactly does for a living. But as I understand it, he owns a wolf tannery. He skins wolves, benefits from the sale of those hides, and he owns the Wolf Trap Number 9 company, which I don't think the man gives them away for free. But as a fur trapper and a business owner in that area, he has a conflict of interest. Now, to be sure, I don't have anything against hunting in general. I'm a hunter. I'm an avid fisherman. And I think that an unambiguous conflict of interest. Secondly, I produced a television show called More Up North. We had a panel discussion on predator control that was broadcast statewide Saturday and repeated Sunday. I sent a link to that program to the House Resource Committee. And in that program, we had Vic Van Ballenberg, we had Wade Willis, and we also had former Board of Game member Bob Bell. Bob Bell said on television that he would not have voted to eliminate the Denali Wolf Zone. He wouldn't have expanded it, but he would not vote to eliminate it because he recognizes that those wolves in Denali Park are worth more alive and viewed by tourists than they are dead. So I found that interesting, and I believe Bob Bell himself is in fact against this nomination. I think in general, as has been referenced, that the Board of Game, in my concern with Mr. Barrett, when you talk about basic qualifications, what does that mean exactly? If a guy like Mr. Barrett gets on the Board of Game, we've already had close calls with the Board of Game actually voting to hunt habituated bears in McNeil River area and in Katmai National Park that were close calls. And I'm concerned that if he gets on the board, then it'll be tipped too far to one side. Another person that denies the science that's out there on a board that has huge powers with what happens to our wildlife in the state of Alaska. Briefly, one thing that's out there with the science is, for instance, with predator control, the McGrath Adaptive Management Group in 2001, the people at McGrath were concerned with not having enough huntable moose. They, at the time, thought there was 850 moose in that area. The target was 3,600. So the Fish and Game went out and did the most comprehensive survey to date, and what they found was that there was actually 3,600 moose in that area. And then they looked at bull-cow ratios within the EMMA, the Experimental Micromanagement Area. The 520 square mile area right around McGrath is about 12 miles by 12 miles, where river hunting is easily accessible, as well as four-wheeler hunting. Within that area, their target was 30 bulls per 100 cows for a sustainable hunted population. And that target area within the EMMA was down to 6 bulls per 100 cows. Outside of EMMA, that ratio jumped to 44 bulls per 100 cows, a very healthy, sustainable hunted population. And I think that study was covered up, never discussed. I've got links to that that I've sent in my comments. And that's the kind of science that has been denied continually by the Department of Fish and Game and the Board of Game. And if Mr. Barrett is allowed on there, this process will continue until we don't have any predators anymore. And I think the predators, the wolf science that's been done between predator-prey relationships over decades with Adolf Murray, with the late Gordon Haber, and with Vic Van Ballenberg has indicated that wolves actually strengthen herds. That science is undeniable, and I think the McGrath study with the EMMA is proof of that, and I hope you'll check on my comments and the link to look at that as well. So with that, the other item that I'm concerned with is Governor Sean Parnell and his appointment of Al Barrett. Three times we've had initiatives that lived in the state that Alaskans have voted down predator control. August 2008, I believe that we would have voted down predator control again were it not for Governor Sean Parnell at the time was the lieutenant governor who manipulated the language of the ballot initiative, was brought into court several times. I have good friends, several of them, who are intelligent people, scientists, biologists, salesmen, lawyers, accountants. People were confused by that initiative, and people that wanted to end predator control voted the wrong way, courtesy of the governor, the current governor of the state of Alaska. So, I think Governor Sean Parnell's appointment of him is a big signal to what his goal is with the Board of Game, and I highly encourage you to please not confirm Alvin Barrett.
Thank you, Kelly. Any questions of Mr. Walters? Bill Shorewaite, are you there?
I'm at Sherwanit. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you. And pronounce your name again, Sherwanit?
Sherwanit.
Thank you. Please proceed, and remember, brevity is the key. We'd like to get everyone in.
Okay. I was planning to listen and not really have anything to say today, but a few things that Mr. Barrett said prompted me to make a few comments. I was at the Board of Game meeting up in Fairbanks. I didn't stay for the entire meeting, but I was there for all the testimony. And I just want to say that I think Mr. Barrett is, if not misrepresenting the Park Service position on the Denali Wolf Buster issue, he's sort of picking and choosing his spot. In fact, for the first time since the Denali wolf buffer was an issue, the Park Service actually put in a proposal that not only supported the buffer, but proposed to increase the size of the buffer. And the Park Service pointed out that there's increasing data that the most viewed packs within the park, the movements of those packs are making them more susceptible to trapping, and in fact there has been increased take of of wolves are the most used packs within Denali along the Bowdoin border in what's called the buffer zone. I think Mr. Barrett was trying to give the sense that the Park Service testimony in fact supported the end of the buffer or the closure of the buffer, and in fact the Park Service pushed for an increased buffer. So that's one thing. I think his judgment is also shown to be questionable with that the whole deal with trapping in the Healy area. I was there for Barbara Breeze's testimony. She's a resident of the Healy area. And in fact, she made clear that the trapping was occurring in the Healy area, very close to residential areas, and it did present a danger. In fact, a number of pets have been trapped. I wasn't present for the board's vote, but I was actually amazed that the board voted to allow trapping in the Healy area, the residential area, to continue. To me, it's rationalizing to say that one bad trapper was eventually contacted and cited. It's like this is a larger public safety issue, and it was been easy enough, very easy for the board to just make it put a ban on trapping in the Healy area and the residential area. I have no idea why the board. No matter how much education is done by the Alaska Trappers Association and other trappers, there's always chance for other, quote, bad trappers to do that, and Mr. Barrett was a part of that vote, so I question his judgment. I know that people's comments can always be taken out of context, the biblical quote, which has been attributed to him, may not have been taken out of context, but I think it's important that within that quote, that he emphasizes that that we humans are in fact sort of mandated to subdue nature and control it. And I think to put someone on the board of game who's coming from a position that this is our job, to subdue nature and control it, to add a person who brings this philosophy to the Board of Game is problematical, as no doubt many of you have heard. There's a big issue on the Board of Game and the fact that it represents a very narrow slice of Alaskans already. To put someone on the board who takes the board to an even more extreme place, I think is very troubling. And
yep. Bill, could I get you to wrap up?
That his nomination should be considered in this light. I think that many, many Alaskans would prefer that the Board of Game actually represent a broader spectrum of Alaskans. Mr. Barrett presents an even more extremely small slice of Alaskans with the philosophies that he represents. And with that and some of his answers, he talked about educating other people who to help better understand the things he does and his way of life. But I would question how well educated he is, really, in terms of broader wildlife management perspectives. So I think for a number of reasons that his nomination to the board should be denied.
Thank you, Bill. Any questions? Thank you. With that, we will go to Fairbanks. Chuck Gray, are you there? Mr. Gray?
I'm here.
Would you please state your name? And I'm going to try not to limit the testimony in terms of time, but we do have significant people to testify. And if I work the math correctly, we're right up against it now. So if you could go ahead and keep it brief, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, I think I can do that. I'm Chuck Gray, and I lived in Fairbanks since I was 15. I'm 82 next month, and 42 of those years I worked at the News Niner, mostly in management. And I also carry master guide license number 28. So I feel I do know something about fish and game in this area. But I would just point out that I think that Al Barrett is kind of a unique person to have on the board, because he's probably as well informed or better than almost anybody in this area. His business headquarters is kind of a grand central for all the hunters and fishermen in the area, because one way or another, we take him from work, or we just stop by to shoot the breeze. And he's always willing to take plenty of time to talk to us and express different points of view, because he gets them all. And of course, he's fairly closely associated with the game department, because he has to be, because he is because he can steal certain skins and that type of thing. So I just feel that he's a uniquely capable person. And from the testimony I've been hearing, it seems like the opposition more is on one vote he's taken. But the guy's certainly capable of looking at things rationally and fairly, and I just hope that you'll confirm.
Thank you, Chuck. Any questions of Mr. Gray? Also, we have there Virgil Upenor, and I think you testified earlier on commercial services, but you want to weigh in on this appointment?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman. I went through this confirmation process three times. I served three terms on the State Board of Fisheries. I'm the vice chair of the Fairbanks Fish and Game Advisory Committee. People talk about conflict of interest. If there's no interest, there's no conflict. The majority of your Board of Fisheries are all either commercial fishermen or they're involved in the sport fish industry. And again, I want to say, if there's no interest, there's no conflict. You need people on the boards, all our boards, especially the three that deal with our resources, that have an interest in the resource, an interest in the use of the resource, an interest in responsible management of our resources. And to what these anti-hunting individuals are talking about is only managing part of the resource, but they do not understand that in order to properly manage the resources, you have to manage all of them. You can't just manage part of it. You have to manage the whole bag that's out there in front of you, everything. And Al, like Mr. Gray that just spoke, I'm a master guide. I own a fish and processing business here in Fairbanks, and I do know for a fact that Al hears as much as I hear. I hear mostly about fishing, but he hears more about hunting and trapping, but I hear about that as well from the public, from the people that come into our businesses. And I know that Al really surprised the board support section when they went to issue him his LexisNexis. That's the company that makes the statutes and the regulation books that all of us, that I know you people have, the Board of Game has, the Board of Fish has. They were surprised. He had his own personal copy. They didn't have to issue him one, because he went and spent the $80-something to buy it himself. And so that for itself speaks to Al's interest in managing the resources responsibly. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So I'm going to take that as an affirmative for the confirmation. Any questions of Virgil? Thank you. With that, we are going to go off net, and I'm going to ask, these are people that are calling in the 800 number that could not get there, so we are going to ask that you be as brief as possible. And with that, Jack Rekoff, are you available?
Hello.
Yes. Identify yourself and who you represent, if anyone.
My name is Jack Rekoff. I live in Weisman, Alaska. I'll be representing myself.
Go ahead, Jack.
So I was born in the territory of Alaska. I've been living in the Brooks Range practically my whole life since I was 3 years old. I'm currently co-chair of the Kaikuk River Advisory Committee and the chair of the Western Chute Regional Advisory Council, but I'm representing my personal perspective regarding Alan Barrett's appointment to the Board of Game. Like I say in my correspondence with your committee, he might be a nice enough guy and industrious, but that's not the question before the legislature right now.
The question is whether he will uphold the legal mandate and has the conservation ethic to perform the role of protector of sustained yield for our game and for the Alaskans. Mr. Barrett voted various times during this last Board of Game meeting held in beginning of March of 2010 several times to reduce the amounts necessary for subsistence. And let me explain what that is. Alaskan residents have a priority use. A game population is assessed as to how many animals the residents need, and any additional animals can be allocated to non-residents. And so Mr. Barrett tried to suppress the amounts necessary for subsistence several times during that Board of Game meeting, and voted to reallocate tremendous resources like this caribou hunt boondoggle that was proposed by the Department for the North Slope of Brooks Range. That proposal that the department submitted was not seen by the public, Mr. Barrett, nor the other many of the board members. Anyway, questioned the advisory committees or the public did not see a 2 month additional harvest for cow caribou. If we had seen that at the advisory committee level, which the Kankakee River Advisory voted against that proposal, we would have voted with screaming, because no one in their right mind shoots a cow caribou or allows the public to shoot cow caribou that have 3-week-old calves. This is on the haul road. You're going to have the general public, tourists, and everybody out there. These cow caribou are going to come across the road and have guys killing cows with baby calves that are going to be walking
Jack,
down the shoulder.
Jack, we're getting a very bad signal. We can barely hear what you're saying. Can you submit your testimony in writing?
Okay, I do have it submitted in writing. I do want to say that Mr. Barrett has proved several times during the last Board of Game meeting that he's not qualified to be a board member for the majority of Alaskans.
Thank you, Jack. Any questions? Lynette Hines, are you available?
Yes, good afternoon.
Please identify yourself for the record and proceed, and keep it brief if you can.
Yes. I would like to not support Al Barrett for the Board of Game. Mainly, I just took it off the speakerphone, I'm sorry. Mainly because I am Alaska Native. I am one half Klinkit. My father is from the Eagle Wolf tribe, the Shongukati. I was born in Sitka, Alaska on July 4th. I'm not going to say the year, but I do have brothers and uncles that hunted and fished throughout the state. And I drive cab here in Anchorage, Alaska. 31 years I've driven cab, and I have been the past president of the Anchorage Klinkit Haida twice. I have been the past president of the Alaska Native Sisterhood Camp 87. And I know the issue about the woman that was killed by the wolves in Signik just recently, and that is a very, very sad event that had happened. And I am against him because I know that when you own a business and when you're sitting on a board, when your monies are affected by the way that you make your living, that it is very, very very, very detrimental to the issues that are being presented. And I do not believe in what the Board of Game did at the January 5th election here in Anchorage, Alaska. I had ran for a subsistence seat, and they did not properly follow all the rules. One of their employees was counting the ballots, and so was the wife of a candidate. It was very, very lopsided. I wrote a piece to the Anchorage Daily News about that. And I do thank them for approving the OTNA proposal for the ceremonial potlatches for women. I have lived in the South Central area for over 40 years, and when I drive a cab, I know that when I get people that come in to our state, they're really looking at Alaska Natives, and you know, the image of somebody that's on the street that's panhandling, that has the alcoholic and drug problem, I really am saddened by that too, but the tourism brings a lot of dollars to our state, and across the nation, we are now suffering because of the incident in Chinook. I am against the predator control program. When I travel the highway from Anchorage to Haines, because I go back to my homeland quite frequently, just recently a small gray wolf was in between the no man's land between the Alaska and Canadian border. I would like to say that my number one issue is for the subsistence throughout the state. I do support that, but I understand that, you know, that the wildlife is very, very important to our state, and not everybody does eat, and they fall under the non-consumptive category. But I am very glad that you have listened to me. My voice is on the Alaska Intertribal Council's 30-second commercial, Channel 95 out of Sitka, and Channel 15 out of Anchorage, 360 North. I'm sorry, it's out of Juneau, actually. But it's my voice first, and then you see the wildlife, and then there's a man's voice, then my voice comes back on, and then a woman. And we support, you know, the subsistence use. Also, we support the animals because we know that their spirits are very, very important to our ancestry. And my father was Eagle Bull. There is a Kawantan honoring song. And that's, you know, the education, not only in the state, but outside the state, to the rest of the world, they don't realize that, you know, who we are as a people. And so I do not support this man, Al Barrett, because I do not think that he can be fair.
Thanks, Lynette. And we're having trouble hearing you. Can you submit your testimony in writing? I don't know what's going on with our phone system today. It seems to start off good and go backwards. Do you have anything in closing, Lynette?
No, but I do appreciate you listening to me. I'm sorry the phone is not working.
Yeah, and we would certainly take your testimony in writing. And as you've seen, the committee does read that and take it very seriously. And thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Wade Willis, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Wade, I do want to point out to the committee that we do have 6 pages of your testimony in writing. I would encourage you not to try to read that into the record.
I certainly won't. I'll be extremely brief.
Thank you, Mr. Willis. Thank you.
First, I just want to note that Mr. Barrett certainly believed, his cornerstone belief is subdue nature and control it. The Board of Game is also responsible for managing game on national park preserve land, national monument lands, and areas where subduing nature is not the mandate of those managers. He's responsible for working cooperatively in those areas, and that really concerns me that he doesn't seem to have a fundamental view of wildlife management that allows that form of letting Mother Nature kind of be natural. As far as Mr. Barrett's willingness to work with the scientific community and other people's views, I question that as well. I attended the entire Board of Game meeting up in Fairbanks and watched him in action, and he voted to revoke the ADF&G's statewide bear management policy that guides the department on the scientific management of Alaska's bears. He voted to, do all kinds of expansions of bear baiting and bear trapping into the summer. But my most concern about his testimony was that he never told you in his initial testimony that he owned a trapping business that made snares and a tannery. That really concerns me. And he also said blatant lie. He said that he did not petition the board to allow the use of snow machines in GMU 26C, the old buffer zone area. I can send you his testimony, and I will. It was Proposal 62, and it was done on March 5th. You can also go to the Board of Game support website and or the staff, and they can get it to you. But I'll take that snippet of his testimony out of the full testimony and email it to you. So I'm just real concerned that Mr. Barrett doesn't represent the diverse points of view that we need to manage on both state and federal lands in Alaska, and to manage for the benefit of all Alaskans. I think he's clearly shown that he's quite biased and willing to blatantly tell a lie to you guys right to your face. Thank you.
Thank you, Wade. Any questions? Thank you. John Blair, are you available?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I believe I'm in the wrong meeting, so I can make this really short. I was looking to testify for Board of Fisheries appointments.
Oh, just stand by. We'll get to that about 3 o'clock, I think.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. William Harvey, are you available?
I'm sorry, what?
Mr. Harvey, are you available? William Harvey?
He's no longer online.
He's no longer online. Art Greenwalt, are you available? Mr. Greenwald.
Yes, I am.
Would you please identify yourself for the record and provide your testimony, remembering brevity is the key.
Yes, I'm Art Greenwald. I live in Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm a 40-year resident. I've hunted up here for several years. There are numerous reasons why I think Mr. Barrett would be an unsatisfactory choice for this position. His revenue sources are the sale of the wolf traps he manufactures and the operation of a fur tannery. Both incomes depend directly on decisions made by the Board of Game, decisions in which he would play a significant part. It strikes me would be a slap in the face of every Alaskan to place one on the board with such obvious conflicts of interest. Further, I think in the Denali buffer zone vote, he demonstrated a disregard for the input of Alaskan residents. A petition of over 500 signatures for the local residents, all Alaskans, requesting the zones be expanded, and a similar request from the park superintendent, also a local resident, were presented. He voted instead for the benefit of at most 3 or 4 recreational, and I stress recreational, trappers who may buy their traps from him and who may afterwards bring their pelts to his tannery. That was astounding to me that he could ignore that overwhelming local opinion on a local matter. One thing that concerns me, too, is that he brings no real diversity to the board. His appointment would create a total absence of any representation for the entire South Central region. Now, as legislators elected to represent all Alaskans, I would ask you to keep in mind the literally hundreds of thousands of Alaskans who do not belong to any of the hunting groups or agree with them, and therefore would not be represented by Mr. Barrett. I urge you to deny his confirmation. To allow him to be confirmed would be the same as telling Alaskans integrity and professionalism have no place on the Board of Game. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Art. Any questions of Mr. Greenwald? Shannon Moore, are you online? Shannon?
Yes.
Would you identify yourself and give your testimony, remembering that brevity is the order of the day?
Yeah, I've heard that several times. This is Shannon Moore. I'm calling from Anchorage, and I just listened to the testimony before me from Fairbanks, and I too have the same feeling that the Board of Game, to have such an obvious conflict of interest, is already such a hot button for so many people, whether it be aerial wolf hunting or buffer zones or for whatever use. The issues that come up are already hot button. Why would we want to even put more fuel on the fire between people that are non-consumptive users of wildlife, whether it be the tourism industry or, you know, with trappers? I should point out that I'm thawing out some moose meat for dinner tonight. I am a consumer of Alaska game in both with my camera and in my freezer right now. So this isn't a greeny-weeny sort of stance. It's more that I think that the Board of Game is already really, really heavy with one type of consumer of wildlife, and it would be great to see some perhaps broader vision on that board that represented more Alaska. I too feel like Anchorage and South Central Region need at least one voice with Bob Bell's retirement that is no longer available. So I would urge you to not put Al Barrett forward for a Board of Game member.
Thank you, Shannon, and thank you for being brief, and your message is heard. Any questions of Shannon? Hearing none, we will go back to someone who's plugged their meter and being a good citizen. Mr. Brown, would you come forward and testify? And I guess my next question is, how much did you put in, and do we have time?
I put in 2 hours worth.
Good. We don't have that much time.
I don't want to get tickets. I've had one of those recently.
Once again, brevity is the key.
Okay. My name is Greg Brown. I'm a resident of Juneau. I started hunting when I was 10 years old. I've been hunting most of my life. And I run a small whale-watching business here in Juneau. I think the face of wildlife in Alaska is changing. You know, right today, the consumptive use of this game is $124 million business and is sinking like a rock. If you look at game tags, down 39% over the last 10 years. If you look at out-of-state hunters, that revenue is down 29%. And you get these numbers right off the Department of Fish and Game website. If you look at resident hunters, they're down 8%. If we look at the other side, the wildlife viewing, it's $581 million. These are per Department of Interior statistics. That business is going up 6 to 10% every year for the last 10 years, not only in Alaska, but all across the nation. It's an interesting statistic, and I won't go into the details of this, but we aren't even in the top half of the states for animal viewing. It's a $29 billion market, and just do the math, and you can see we're not even in the top half. We should be the top half. We should be bringing these people up here and bringing the money and the employment that comes with it. The Denali buffer zone. Denali obviously is a very public issue for everybody, and probably none of you, or maybe some of you have, but I hadn't heard of Friends of Admiralty, Friends of Animals, and I had not heard of them until about 3 weeks ago, and I now have 3 emails from people, from some boycott that these people are putting on in the lower 48, questioning whether they want to come and take my trip. These were trips that were booked last October, and they haven't said no yet, but it's being questioned. You know, the buffer zone, the whole issue was over providing opportunities for 4 trappers. And we're risking a $581 million business and growing in order to accomplish that. If we look at Yellowstone and the recent articles in National Geographic and other places, wolves have increased their business by $35 million a year in Yellowstone. That's a huge amount of money. Each wolf in Yellowstone, if you just do the math, is worth over $500,000. And yet we're creating this terrible image of shooting wolves. The use of helicopters and shooting the collared wolves. I've been hearing about this from friends and people in the lower 48. I mean, it's communication area shooting collared wolves. You know, how smart do you have to be to know if a wolf has a collar, probably a government person putting it on, you shouldn't shoot it. It doesn't take a lot of brains to do that. In regards to Mr. Barrett, I never testified ever against anybody in an appointment. But some of these actions recently in the Board of Game have really raised my ire, and I think it's in conflict with the interest of Alaska. But you know, he has another business. It's clearly a conflict of interest. The Board of Game is stacked with people with conflicts of interest. If any of you went to the UAS forum last week, you heard at least one person from the Board of Game talking about his conflict of interest right in the meeting. And I really have to oppose Mr. Barrett, and also I'd like the people to consider putting somebody on the board who's a non-consumptive user of these resources. This is becoming a bigger and bigger piece of the business in Alaska, be it supplying a lot of employment, and we need to have that voice heard on the board. Thank you very
much. Thank you. Any questions? Hearing and seeing none, thank you, appreciate it, and
thank you
for your time. That concludes public testimony, so we will close public testimony at this time. We have before us the nomination of 4 people.
Are you sure you got this?
Did I get to Dave Turnbull in Anchorage? I'm seeing here that maybe I didn't. Dave, are you online?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can barely hear you, and I apologize if I missed you. It's just I scratched through your name accidentally. So with that, I will reopen public testimony for one person in Anchorage. Dave, if you would identify yourself and proceed, I'd appreciate it. And I apologize for missing you.
My name is David Turnbull. I live in Anchorage, which is currently unrepresented on the Board of Game.
Okay.
And I think that we need some representation. That's one of the reasons that I oppose Mr. Barrett's nomination. I had a conversation this week with Bob Bell, who I also disagree with on most things, but he called Mr. Barrett an extremist and said that he has no place on the board. I think that Board of Game decisions should be based on science, not on financial interests, like Mr. Barrett's interest in his trapping company and his fur tannery, or his religious doctrine that he's talked about in interviews with Backpacker magazine. That's all I have to say. I'll keep it brief, so thanks for your time, and I just want to urge you guys to vote not to confirm Mr. Barrett.
Thank you, Ms. Turnbull. And for everyone listening, once again, I'm going to say that this committee is not charged with confirming or not confirming a member. It is our charge as this committee to evaluate the qualifications as submitted by the governor, at which time we will have a vote with the Senate to confirm for confirmation hearings. And at that point, we will vote up or down on these members, and then it would be up to the governor to reappoint anyone who votes down. I encourage anyone to continue to contact all your legislators, not just the ones on this committee, to make your voices heard. And with that, that will be actually Friday, April 9th. I've just gotten a note. So before next Friday, get all that information to your legislators, whether you support or oppose. And with that, are there any other questions that any of the committee members have? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the committee forward the name of Bruce Tromley for the position of Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission a member to a joint session for consideration.
Thank you. Any objections? Hearing none, that name will be forwarded. Next, please.
I move that the committee forward the name of Robert Mumford for the position of Big Game Commercial Services Board Member to a joint session for consideration.
Any objections? Hearing and seeing none, that name will be forwarded as well.
I move that the committee forward the name of Van Grusendorf for the position of Board and Game Member to a joint session for consideration.
Any objections? Hearing and seeing none, that name also shall be forwarded.
And I also move that the committee forward the name of Al Barrett for the position of Board and Game Member to a joint session for consideration.
Any objections?
There
are no objections, but there is a comment. Representative Guttenberg, excuse me.
I'd just like to affirm what you said. A committee, even a standing committee, doesn't have the authority to stop a nomination at this level.
And that is correct. And that is something I hope I made clear, but probably didn't. We don't have the ability to stop it. Even if we wanted to, it would be forwarded. Hearing no objections to that, is there any other business to come before the committee? I would like to remind the members that we will reconvene here in about 5 minutes to take up appointments for the Board of Fish in a joint meeting with the Fisheries Committee. I think that should go fairly quickly. And Representative Edgman, do you have something to add to that as Chairman of Fisheries?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just trying to hold one of my Fishery Committee members here. We need a quorum.
With that, we will just go ahead and recess as opposed to adjourn, since we'll be back in. So we'll just recess. Thanks, everyone, for attending. Thanks, everyone, for testifying. And thanks for those who have volunteered to serve the state. And with that, we will recess till 3 o'clock for a joint hearing with the fisheries. And with that, we will adjourn.